Welcome to Moneymaker, the podcast that gives you the tools to enrich your life in every sense of the word. I'm your host, Nelly Galan. Let's get started. Hillel Prester, my God, you are a find. I can't believe that our mutual friend Damon John introduced us, and I'm so happy he did because I have to tell you that you are one of the top lawyers in the country on asset protection. And I say that with love because I didn't even know what the hell asset protection meant when I met you, which tells you a lot. And all I can tell you is I have your books here and I've deep dived into your work. And I'm like, oh my God, how did I not know that I needed Hillel so bad? So I'm just so happy you're here. And I have to start by telling you that I'm an immigrant, as you know, from Cuba. And I think that what really shocked me about listening to you and reading your work is that I think so many people that I represent, minorities, immigrants, come from countries where there is no litigious nature of anything. You know, like you run somebody over and you like work it out and you pay each other off and there's no legal, there's no lawyers, there's no nothing. And I think that your work is such a call to action of the litigious true nature of this country and how we don't realize that we are one problem away from losing everything. I want to start by asking you why we have such a bad impression of lawyers and that anybody will take the moment to sue you over anything. When did that happen?
First of all, thanks for having me. It's always great to speak to you. So really super excited to be here. But it's really unfortunate. And I joke, you know, when I go speak across the country, I always tease people and I say, I am the lawyer that hates lawyers. And I say that because we live in such a frivolous society, such a litigious society. I mean, look around. Every bus bench, who can I sue? Every radio ad, who can I sue? Every TV ad, who can I sue? You know, how do I take the money out of the hardworking individuals, redistribute the wealth? And then the attorneys, they normally get about a third or 40% in between. And, you know, when you have things like interest rates going up, bad economies, lawsuits only get worse because everybody's looking for that free dollar, for that free meal. And the problem isn't even the lawsuits. The problem is that no matter how bad the lawsuit is against you, if you don't defend yourself, you get an automatic judgment. So it's really extortion because either settle the case and pay for something you didn't do, or spend tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars defending yourself, and then you technically win. But if you've spent millions of dollars on legal fees, that's not a win.
I mean, I have to tell you that it's happened to me. As a TV producer, I've had people fall on the set of a TV show. I've had employees that I have who do something bad in the office, and then I get sued, not the employee, I get sued. And I've had to learn the hard way. And I really, before I met you, I thought, well, I guess I over-insure myself. That's what I learned from all these lawsuits was like, I better have a lot of insurance. I better have extra insurance for production, extra insurance if I speak in public. But what I gather from your work is that really all the stuff that I was doing, I used to think insurance was the end-all be-all of saving myself. And what you say in all your work is, oh, hell no. There's a lot of ways that you can be screwed. And I think we should tell people, first of all, what is asset protection? You delineate it very well. What are the different ways that you could be messed up?
So you brought up a lot of points. First of all, let me just start off with some stats. We all get up and we know that unfortunately, we could probably get in a car accident. Everyone's texting and driving. No one's paying attention. So if you're not scared yet, here's the stat. You are 7 times more likely to face a lawsuit than get into a car accident. I mean, first of all, that is scary. So it's not what you make, it's what you keep. And the challenge I give to everyone is I tell them, look, you spend your whole life trying to make money, whether it's to live a better life, give your kids the things you never had, give to charity, retire early. But unfortunately, one lawsuit can take everything away. You know, your teenage driver can be driving your car while you're at work, and because they get in an accident, you lose everything. So the challenge I give is this. For every 60 minutes you spend making money, just stop and spend 60 seconds thinking about how to protect it. Now, you bring up insurance, and I always tell my clients, look, if Buy as much insurance as you can. It's cheap and it helps you sleep at night. But understand that insurance companies are for-profit companies. And in fact, they're probably one of the most profitable industries in the entire world. I always joke that when I come back, I want to come back as an insurance company. And if you look at the stats, the majority of lawsuits are not covered by insurance. Anybody who's ever read their policy, which is almost nobody, knows there's about a page of what's covered and 50 pages of exclusions. So you think you're protected with insurance until you get sued. And then unfortunately, the insurance company is trying to find a way to squeeze out of it. So I always tell people you need different layers, different firewalls. I call it belt and suspenders approach. Insurance is great, but alone it's not the answer. You need an asset protection plan to supplement your insurance.
And when you say an asset protection plan, what does that mean? We're putting things in entities? Like how? I didn't even know I was supposed to go to a lawyer for this. I thought it was just insurance. So when I go to you, what is it that you're going to do with all of my assets? How are we going to start?
Well, first of all, let's talk about what asset protection is. So what we do as asset protection attorneys is we want to make it so difficult, so expensive, if not impossible, for anybody to ever collect against you that they don't want to sue you in the first place. And if they do sue you, I want to be able to settle the case for 10 or 15 cents on the dollar. I don't want you to be the low-hanging fruit. We want to make you as lawsuit-proof and as judgment-proof and as uncollectible as possible. And the key is, and of course, there's tons of strategies on how to protect yourself, but the overall key is own nothing, control everything. Own nothing, control everything. And think about it. If you have money in the bank and you own it, you can lose it. If you have real estate in your name and you get sued, you can lose it. If you own part of a business and you get sued, you can lose it. So what we do is we work to help you retitle all of those personal and business assets. That way you, in fact, own nothing, control everything. You still have full control over your assets. However, if you get sued, you don't lose one penny.
Okay. And that freaks me out because when you, like, I know you talk a lot about do not have any properties in your personal name. Do not. And I have commercial properties in LLCs, but I have personal properties in my trust. And I thought that was protected by my trust. And you say no in the book.
Yeah. So a revocable living trust gives you 0% asset protection. It's probably one of the biggest misconceptions I see. I see it every single day. I speak to 5 or 10 clients every day, and at least once a day it comes up. A revocable living trust is great for estate planning. It helps you avoid probate when you die. It does absolutely nothing for asset protection. And if you have a property in your trust, if you get sued, you can lose the property. Maybe even worse than that, if somebody gets injured on the property, they can sue you and come after everything you own. So real estate in your trust is definitely a no-no.
Okay, so I'm freaking out because I just rented my house in California and it's in my name. And let me tell you what happened. I wanted to put it in an LLC. It has a small mortgage on it. And the bank was like, if you move it to the LLC, then the mortgage is now gone because we gave you a personal mortgage, not a mortgage for a company. And the insurance company said, if you put it in an LLC, then the insurance, which State Farm is leaving California, we will revoke your insurance. So like there's all these barriers to entry. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And you have to make sure you do things obviously correctly and legally and ethically. You know, I own 20, 30 plus properties. Not one of them is in my personal name, except for my primary home, because in the state where I live in Florida, it happens to be protected. But some of the properties I own cash, some of them I have a mortgage, and I have no problem with the mortgage and I have no problem getting insurance. So it may just be that you're talking to the wrong people, but you absolutely can do these things. This is like asset protection 101.
One of the things that you talk about in your book that I thought was super powerful is to inventory everything in your life. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So most people have so much more than they think they do. You know, when I talk to people about their assets, the things that come to mind are, you know, maybe their real estate or their money or their business, but there's so much more than that. You know, what if you lent someone $200,000? What if you lent your child $200,000? The fact that you're owed $200,000 from your child is an asset. And if you get sued, somebody can then go try and collect the $200,000 from your child, which would be a nightmare. What if you have a potential inheritance coming, whether it's from a relative, you know, a friend, a family member? Maybe you have a great domain name or a phone number. Well, if you get sued, you can lose that phone number or domain name and it starts renting to the competitor. You know, there's intellectual property, patents, trademarks. So everyone thinks that they don't have a lot until they actually inventory their wealth, and people end up having a lot more than they always thought they did.
This idea of inventorying, and you said you have a list for that, right? Like that you have a list. And you talk a lot about all this stuff in your books too. The book, Financial Self-Defense, Asset Protection Secrets. I love that one of the books is a Q&A, which you answer a lot of questions. I really was shocked reading this. I can't believe that I've gotten to this age and I didn't know anything about this. It really kind of scares me about what else do I not know. One other thing that you say in the books that's unbelievable is different careers have different liabilities. Like you talk about doctors, for instance. I also didn't think about that either. Like, for instance, I, being a TV person, and I just wrote a book, and you know, when I wrote the book, the publisher had an E&O insurance, an errors and omission insurance. And I realized because I'm writing a book and I have a lot of famous people's names in the book, I better get another insurance policy because God forbid somebody says I lied about what I said or, you know, whatever. They say, I don't think that's accurate. I think we don't realize to the degree that we're liable at every step of life. So can you talk about that in different types of careers?
Yeah. So you bring up a few different things. I mean, first of all, just in writing the book, you know, you don't even want to write the book in your own name because like you said, if there's an issue, you get sued. Also, if it's a bestseller, that's an asset that you can lose. So I own my own publishing company for the books that I write. And when you have different books, you want to put them in different entities. That way, if you've said the wrong thing, they sue the entity, not you. And that way, if you get sued personally, your income stream from the book, which may be a bestseller knowing you, is protected forever. And not every risk is created equally. You know, some people are protecting against a teenage daughter. Other people are protecting against a third or fourth marriage. And nothing is equal. Everybody's personal assets are different. Everybody's business assets are different. And everybody's personal and business potential threats, creditors, and liabilities are different. So you never want to do anything cookie cutter. You always want an individualized and customized and tailored plan. And when you talk about professions, okay, the ER surgeon, he's got a lot to worry about. The person who owns a security company with 1,000 security guards, they have a lot to worry about. You know, if you create websites and you have 2 employees, again, still liability, but maybe not as much. So it just depends what line of work you're in.
What it brings up for me too is I used to have this boss, Jerry Parenchio, who may he rest in peace. And I remember he used to say to me, you know, all these people that get publicity and all that, you're just creating a target for yourself. And I lay low. I don't put my name on anything. Now we're in social media. Now everybody is famous for 10 minutes. And that all of that does create a target on your back?
It does for sure. And it reminds me of something my dad said. You know, my dad used to say, I never want to be so famous where I can't go to the store to buy a gallon of milk and I get harassed. So obviously we know there's a lot of great things that come with celebrity and there's a lot of bad things that come with celebrity. One of the bad things that comes with celebrity, whether you're a real quote unquote celebrity or whether you're a social media celebrity, is that no matter whether you are or not, people think you are rich and successful. So, you know, nobody's showing the bad stuff on Instagram, right? Everyone's showing the highlights. And no matter how little you have, they think you're worth probably a million times what you have. And if they think you're worth that, then they're probably going to sue you. And think about this. I can sue anybody I want. I can hire an attorney for free because the lawyer doesn't charge me. The lawyer just takes a contingency fee. If he wins, he gets a percentage of the case. It costs me nothing, maybe 20 minutes of my time, and I never have to think about it for the next 3 years. But if I'm suing you, you need to defend yourself and nobody's defending you for free.
If I'm somebody that doesn't make that much money, and on top of that, you know, I live a low-key life. If I'm poorer, should I not have to worry about this? Is this only for people that have a lot of assets and a lot of stuff?
Yeah, so I'd argue the opposite. I'd argue the less you have, the more important it becomes. We've represented 30, 40 plus NFL, NBA guys. Well, if they sign a $50 million contract and they get sued for $5 million, you know, they're not happy, but they still have $45 million. Take the school teacher who saves up a couple hundred thousand dollars over her career. If she gets sued for $1 million, she's wiped out. So to me, I don't care how little or how much you think you have. You always should have an asset protection plan. Now, obviously, we're not going to do the same thing for a school teacher with a few hundred thousand dollars as we would for the multi-professional athlete millionaire. but everybody needs some sort of planning and protection.
I think one of the things that I learned from our mutual friend, Julio Gonzalez, and now hearing from you too, is I think that we all, for a while there, it was like we all hired a CPA, we got insurance, and that was pretty much it. And like one of the things he's told me, and you're telling me too, is that really when it comes to your assets and all of this, you need a holistic approach and a team, right? And so who's in the team that we really need to cover all our bases for our life?
Yeah. And I'm going to overwhelm you. I know it. and what I always tell my clients is, look, while you're alive, make sure that you're as uncollectible and judgment-proof as possible. However, make sure you have an integrated plan. So when you pass away, the assets go where you want them to go quickly, privately, less taxes and less lawyer fees. So in order to do that, you need a team. And probably one of the biggest things I see when I go speak across the country is I don't care how successful somebody is, nobody's team is talking. And it doesn't matter if you protect your assets while you're alive, if when you die, they don't go where you want them to go. It doesn't matter if your assets go where you want them to go, but half of them go to the government in taxes. So you need to make sure that your team's talking. And when I say team, and of course, it's going to be different for the school teacher versus the multimillionaire or billionaire, but you want to have, of course, and in no special order, an estate planning attorney. Where do your assets go when you pass away? An asset protection attorney. How do you make sure that your assets are protected while you're alive? A business succession planning specialist. You know, if you own a business, what happens with the business and your business partner? A CPA, you got to file your tax returns. A financial advisor, how do you make the financial decisions? An insurance agent, and that could be property and casualty, that could be life insurance, et cetera. You may need a tax attorney in addition.
In the case of Julio, a tax architect, because sometimes you have to do these engineering reports and all that to get the cost segregation. So it is a team. So I guess that begs the question, am I, no matter what, in this country going to have a very complicated life? If we follow the financial system of the country, which is make money, save money, invest the money makes money while you sleep, are we living a very complex and beaten down life because we have all these entities and all this stuff and all these taxes we have to do? And then doesn't it cost a lot of money?
No, so actually it will simplify your life. And, you know, people never understand this until they do it. And it's like everything, right? Education is key. If you know how to play the game, you can win the game. If you don't know how to play the game, you probably have no chance at winning the game unless you're lucky. But let me give you one example. Client walks into my office and they have six properties and they're all in their personal name. Some are primary homes, some are vacation homes, some are rental properties. They're all in their name. Well, when they take money in, some for rent, okay? When they put money out, some for electric, some for mortgage, insurance, taxes, at the end of the year, it's a cluster. Nobody knows what can you expense, what can you not expense. So for example, you know, on your primary home, you can't expense the electric or the gas bill. But if it's a rental property or an investment property, you can expense it. If you just set up, and I'm just going to make it up, three different LLCs, now it's as simple as can be. Rent comes in for property one, it goes into LLC one. If there's a mortgage or insurance or taxes or an electric bill from property one, it comes out of property one bank account. Same thing for property two, same thing for property three. By having these different entities and by segregating things, it actually really, really simplifies your life. And people don't understand that until they do it. Their next question is, well, now don't I have three different tax returns because of these three different LLCs? And the answer is no. If you own an LLC 100%, whether it's you or through another one of your companies, it's what's called a disregarded entity for tax purposes. So for tax purposes, it's as if it doesn't exist, which means you don't even need to file a return for any of those three LLCs that we just discussed.
Are you kidding? Hold on. Moneymaker will be right back. Let's get back to the show. So if a stranger goes in to see you, what happens? How does this whole process work? It's almost like going to a doctor and they go in to see you and they're like, look at this bag of craziness that I have. How do you deal with that?
So what I always do is I always start off just by having a complimentary preliminary consultation. I schedule an hour or so to meet with a client and I'm looking for a few things. Number one, what are the client's goals and objectives? Number two, can I help them? And number three, is it a good personality fit? If I can accomplish their goals and objectives, and I think we'd make a good team, we move to the next step. And the next step is, we just at a very high 30,000 foot overview level, essentially inventory what they have. So give me the general idea. What are your personal assets? What money do you have? What real estate do you have? What private equity do you have? Et cetera, et cetera. Hey, what business assets do you have? Et cetera, et cetera. One person may just have money in the bank and no business and be retired. I have clients that have 300 different companies and different businesses. So you never know what you're going to get. So really, the step one is just have that complimentary consultation and assess the situation. Depending then on what the client needs, we normally break up the engagement into two different stages. And I tell people, it's kind of like if you had an acre of land and you wanted to build a house. First thing you do is you hire the architect. He tells you everything you can build. You don't have to build everything. Second thing you do is you hire the builder. No different. What we do is we become their financial architect. We go through all their finances and give them every option available, not that they need to do it all. And then stage number two, we can become their financial builder, where we can implement as little or as much of the strategies that they'd like.
Wow. It is like cleaning house. And is this something that you would start from the time you're young so that you can get insurance cheaper? And, you know, you and I were talking about our kids. Nobody teaches this stuff in school. Nobody. That's why we have to do money camp for kids.
It's funny. I was at my son's school yesterday. He just turned 8. And, you know, he does these different electives after school. And one of the electives that he chose to do was a little doctor. And we went there yesterday for his graduation. Well, the graduation happened to be in the library. And I turned to my wife and I said, where's the finance section?
But you know, it's funny because you told me the cutest story about your son that you have taught your kids so much. And by the way, so have I. Like, I would go with my kid to literally a bowling alley when he was little. And I go, Lucas, what do you think this bowling alley makes? Like, let's figure out what it costs per alley. And we do the math like it was a game. And when you were telling me stories about your kid, it made me smile so much because the kid's like already a savant.
Now, he's definitely advanced, but I take the time and I try and teach him as much as I can in fun ways. I mean, we may say, you know what? We're looking at buying a business. Maybe it's a restaurant. So we'll go down there and we'll tell him, hey, don't say anything, but look at everything. And then when we leave, what did we like about the restaurant? What did we not like about the restaurant? Should we buy the restaurant? So no matter what it is, buying a business, whether it's real estate, whether it's working to make money, I try and teach him as much as I can and educate him as young as I can.
And then in terms of people's businesses, I find that because I deal so much, Hillel, with small business owners and minority small business owners and this and that. And I realize like most of them don't have insurance for the company. A lot of them work from home now, you know, like they might be catering or something from their house and they have so much liability, like fires, this, that, and the other. Can you give us some tips for small business owners and how they should be thinking?
Yeah. I don't care how small you think your business is, you need to make sure you plan properly. And I'll give you a few quick stories. I knew someone, and when I say knew someone, through my partner, she was a client, and she had a doll business. So she used to go to the flea market, and she'd sell dolls. And my partner, I'll never forget it, he was my mentor. Unfortunately, he passed away. He told her, you need to do asset protection. You need to set up an LLC for your doll business. You know, she laughed at him. She goes, I go to the flea markets on the weekend and I sell dolls. Well, you know what happened? The doll poked out the eye of a baby and she got sued for $3 to $5 million. If she would have simply created an LLC, which is as easy as you can ever get, the LLC would have been sued, not her. So I don't care how small the company is. I don't care if you're doing $5,000, $10,000 in sales. I don't care if it's a dog walking business and you haven't even started yet. Asset protection 101, you don't ever own the business personally, which is a sole proprietorship or a partnership with someone else. You have to have corporate protection.
Wow. And also, we know that estate taxes could change potentially next year. And everybody's thinking, what am I going to do? And how do I give stuff away to my kid and yet protect it? All these things are very complex. How do you deal with something like that?
Yeah. So first of all, we don't know what's going to happen. Anyone who tells you that they know what's going to happen is either lying or doesn't know what they're talking about. But with that being said, I'm a firm believer of, you know, hoping for the best, but planning for the worst. So all we can do is take the knowledge that we have. What are the laws today? What do we know that the laws are going to be if they don't change, and plan accordingly? So yes, for people who do have large numbers of assets, I think it's important to get them out of their estate, because why give, 40, 50% as an extra estate tax? But there's things you can do. You don't necessarily have to give it to your kid. So I'll give you an example. What I did with my wife, I took half of everything I owned and I put it in a trust for my wife, followed by the kids. We took the other half of everything we owned and she put it in a trust for me, followed by the kids. So between me and my wife, we still have access to 100% of the assets. However, we've used the tax laws to essentially get assets out of our estate to pay less estate tax when we do pass away. And we were able to do that without losing access to $1.
But wait a minute. By having two people have it, aren't you, as a married couple, don't you still get one chunk of estate tax?
No, every person gets a different estate tax. So right now, each person gets about 13 to 14 million. I'm just rounding. So if you're married, that's 26 to 28 million. It's set to go down to about 5 to 6 million in the next couple of years per person, which would be about 10 to 12 million. So if you're single and you have less than 5 or 6, when the laws change, you'll be okay. But if you have more than it now, you should give some away. But with that being said, we don't know if from 5 to 6, it'll go down to 2. Maybe it'll go down to 1. So it's this moving target. So again, hope for the best, plan for the worst.
Okay, I have to breathe because that was a lot to take in. I feel like I have so much to do, but I love it. Now, can we just have a little fun at the end? Because I have to have fun with you. So you're very happily married and you have 2 kids and I'm so happy. But at some point you were single and you know that I was on Celebrity Apprentice, so we can share stories. And you were on Millionaire Matchmaker. But you have a great story about meeting your wife after you were on the show. Can you tell the story? Because it's hysterical.
First of all, if my wife ever asks me to this day, I always tell her she's the first and last girl I ever dated. So I don't care if she names 10 other names. I don't know what she's talking about. But yes, a very long time ago, I did go on the Millionaire Matchmaker. I had a great time. It was a great experience. And for the date, what I did was, is I sent the limo to the girl's house to pick her up.
And we took a private plane from LA to San Francisco. We went, I believe it was the Mandarin Oriental. It's the highest building there. I think we're on like the 60th floor. We had like a 7-course meal overlooking the views and then flew back to LA. It was a really, really great experience. But the funny thing is, a few months later, I started dating my now wife. So about 3 or 4 months into the relationship, I said to my now wife, I said, look, I need to tell you something. Before we got together, I happened to be on this little show called Millionaire Matchmaker, and it's going to be airing soon. So I had the pleasure of getting to meet her entire family via TV because there were not too many Hallels in Boca Raton, Florida. And then, of course, my wife asked me, how come our first date wasn't like that?
Oh, my God. You got yourself in deep trouble, but it's hysterical. I love that story.
Listen, it's 15 years later, and I'm still paying for it.
I hear you. I hear you. I want people to be able to access all your information. Can you tell them where to go on the website or call? And I really think your books are unbelievable. The way you write them are so accessible. Can you talk about that too?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, if anybody wants to contact us, our website is www.assetprotectionattorneys.com. That's www.assetprotectionattorneys.com. And as a courtesy, if anybody goes to our website, if they want to learn, our goal is to educate. As long as they mention your show, I will literally send them our books complimentary, no catching. Happy to do that. My 2 latest books, one is Financial Self-Defense, one is Asset Protection Secrets. And Financial Self-Defense is a really great book if you have a few hours to sit down and read it from cover to cover. But Asset Protection Secrets I wrote because everybody was so busy and it's all Q&A. So the really nice thing about Asset Protection Secrets is if you literally have 3 minutes and you want to learn how to protect your money or how to protect your business or your real estate, all you do is turn to that chapter, read the few questions on that, and literally in 2 to 3 minutes, you can learn things.
I know you talk a lot about the importance of educating yourself. So can you leave everybody with why? Like, we can't just sit around anymore. The world has changed ever since 2020, ever since the pandemic. First of all, explain to everybody how in every state, the laws change all the time for all this stuff. And if we're not educating ourselves, we are leaving money on the table.
Not even a question. You know, every year your assets change. Every year the laws change. Every year, hopefully, you're going for an annual health physical. No different. Start doing an annual financial physical. Because again, it's not what you make, it's what you keep. And there's so much information, so much education out there, not just for me and my books and my website. Well, you know, we're in the day and age where we can learn anything. So all the information of how to win the game is out there. All we need to do is spend the time and get it. But again, you know, you want to work smart, not hard. So make sure that for all the time you're spending trying to make money, that you do spend a little time trying to protect it, because one lawsuit, you can lose everything and you don't want to have to start all over.
Hillel Presser, thank you so much. I'm so happy I've met you and I so thank you.
Anytime.
Moneymaker is a production of Money News Network. Moneymaker is written and hosted by me, Nelly Galan. Our executive producer is Morgan Lavoie. Thanks for listening. See you next time.